More peaceful, good, kind, and etc., just like that.
Unfortunately, we soon realized that's not the case, and we must try our best to achieve these standards that Jesus himself was able to accomplish. God takes many routes to transforming us into the people we are today.
For example, I learned bits and pieces of the bass clarinet in eighth grade, but once I got to junior band in ninth, I was feeling extremely discouraged and overwhelmed for a long time. Transformation occurred when God shows us how these momentary gaps in self-confidence are only temporary and never forever.
Speaking of which, we will also be transforming into a more musical youth as we start our youth band that is being created thanks to Amanda as our leader.
This will allow us to praise God musically, allowing for a more transitional period for our fellow youth to reflect on how we praise God.
To close off our message, we have a joke. Why did Adam and Eve do math every day?
Why? Okay. They were told to be fruitful and multiply. Ha 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 ha.
You'll talk to them. So late last night, I get this wonderful text from Olivia. She said, would you like to see what we have created for the congregation? And this was the work of creation. So Olivia, can you tell us just a little bit about it?
Yeah.
Yep, you're good. We got a buzz going on.
Okay, well, it's okay. Well, that's just the youth being transformers and transforming into different versions of themselves. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Yeah, let's say thank you. I like, I just think it's so great to hear from our youth. We don't get to see them on their Wednesday night experience, but we get to see them transforming as we engage with them on Sunday morning. So thank you, Hannah and Olivia. Thank you again for all the leaders and for youth who just continue to go to youth group and to learn and to build relationship with one another. And so we're pretty excited about that. Do you want me to change a mic at all? Okay. Okay, so kids, you can head off to Kids Zone. Once again, Ellen has something marvelous planned. Pretty soon, adults are going to sneak out, Ellen, when we release kids to Sunday school. We want to be part of that. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you join us here today. We thank you already through greeting one another. We thank you that through singing praises, through hearing from Hannah and Olivia, from hearing scripture, that you are here, that you are close to us, that you see us, that you walk alongside us in our journeys of life and transformation. Thank you, God, that we can be transformed because you have blessed us with that gift. And may we listen this morning with ears and hearts and minds that are open to your ways, which are good and kind. Amen. So, try it again. Is that better? Thank you. Transformation, here we go. Yay. So, what does transformation look like to you? Is it like sanding a piece of wood until it's smooth? Or is it sitting with the question Jesus asks us, what would you like me to do for you? Or is it saying in a hushed whisper or in a confident voice, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening? Is it bringing a new theme or expression to your faith, just as Amanda did when she wrote a new song? Is it focusing on what is true and right and lovely and pure in a time of worry or in a time of conflict? Or as Leah spoke about last week, is it about being part of a faith community or seeking professional support or simply embracing that the journey of life is nonlinear? In the first week of this series on transformation, the image of transformation we used was that of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And inside the caterpillar's cocoon, there was a complete metamorphosis. The caterpillar disappears and a whole new transformation, a beautiful new creation emerges. Some of us in our lives have experienced such a dramatic transformation. We can name it. It's like from day to night, we are very, very different. We are completely transformed. Well, others of us might have experienced more gradual transformations throughout our lives, where over a period of time, we are being made new. We are shedding the old. We're welcoming and living into the new over and over and over again in our lives. I believe that one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us is the capacity for ongoing transformation in our lives. Stop for a moment and think about the incredible gift that we are given in being invited into and provided with all that is necessary to be transformed into Christ-likeness. What a beautiful gift that we are given that ability and capacity. Throughout Scripture, we are invited to become more and more like Christ. God delights in our transformations. We are given everything we need for life and for godliness, as Chris read this morning. And when we open up our lives, we are being formed and molded by the Holy Spirit. God, through His Holy Spirit, accompanies us in our transformation, teaching us and counseling us, just as in 1 Corinthians 2, where it says that we are given the mind of Christ. God has gifted us with this ability to be transformed, to be made new, to undergo change in our hearts and in our minds, in our souls and in our actions. As we live out our lives with faith, we are welcomed into a journey of transformation. Initially, this might seem like a burden of hard work, but truly, it is a gift full of hope. How hopeless would life be if we could not change? How hopeless we might feel if there was no possibility for change to happen in us, if change was in fact impossible. Transformation is a journey in which we have to come with some measure of willingness to say yes, or to say, here I am, or to say, I am willing. As Chris and Amanda, we sang, I surrender all, or I come before God with open hands. We allow ourselves to enter into a process that is led by God, where again, we become more like Jesus. Each of you has a pipe cleaner, or I hope that you do. Everybody have one? Anybody need one? So, we have this pipe cleaner, or you have this pipe cleaner, and maybe already you've been sitting and holding it. You've been shaping it. Has anybody changed its shape? Oh, Andrew, I've seen it. That changed a little bit in shape there. You're transforming it into something new. Notice that it bends very, very easily, and it goes where you want it to go. But also notice that you can reshape it over and over and over again. See how very different it is from this wooden skewer. It cannot change, bend, mold. In fact, when I press it, it actually breaks. So change doesn't come to this. Change brings breaking. Whereas we want to be able to remain pliable, movable, like this illustration with the pipe cleaner this morning. In Isaiah 64, the image of the potter and the clay is used. It says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And God uses the same image again when speaking a word to the prophet Jeremiah. Scripture says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house. See this action? Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand. How do we become pliable in our journeys with God? How do we move and reshape ourselves with God's leadership? How do we become like the clay that opens itself to the work of the potter or the pipe cleaner that allows us to reshape? In Jeremiah 18, it says that the clay was marred, which also means that it was diminished. It was not as beautiful as the potter wanted it to be or knew that it could be. And as disciples of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can awaken in us, can awaken us to some of the areas in our lives that are marred, that need reforming. This might come through an awakening, an inner sense that you no longer want to live or to act in a certain way. About 6 months ago, I met with a person who said very early in our conversation, "I don't want to react in anger anymore." This was the statement. And as we began the conversation, I asked, where did this desire not to react in anger come from? I wanted to be curious. Where did this come from? Did someone tell this person that? Did she read something? But the person said, "One day I was reacting in anger, and something within me signaled to me that this is not the way I want to behave, nor the way that God desires for me to be." So the person didn't hear a clear voice. It didn't come from reading a scripture verse that impacted them. It was just a very, very clear awareness of how this way of life was not the way that the person wanted to be living or was meant to live. And so the person opened themselves up to this journey of transformation. And this is about 6 months later, and I met with this person again, and the transformation was absolutely obvious to me. What I experienced was a change in the person's disposition, just a gentleness. In fact, in the middle of our conversation, I said, "Wow, I want you to know that I am experiencing this transformation that is going on within you." And so I asked, how did this experience of transformation happen? What went on within her? And this is what the answer was. She said, "Before I opened myself up to being transformed, I thought that a loud, angry response was the only solution." And this was truth. Really thought that if I'm loud and angry, things will change. That's the best solution. And then she continued that now God continually gives me other options. It is like God opens my eyes to new ways all the time. And I really like not being angry. It is so much better for my whole being and for my relationship. This person talks about just ready to be angry and thinking, "I don't want to be, but what else might I do?" And then gentleness, a way of gentleness comes, or a way of changing speech from being angry comes. This is a transformative work of the Spirit of God. In Jeremiah 18, it says that the potter shaped the pot as it seemed best to him. A non-angry disposition seems like the good work of a good potter. We can also open ourselves to the work of transformation by offering a prayer of self-examination to God. We can use the prayer from Psalm 139, which many of us might be familiar with, which invites God to reveal to us places that are ready for or would benefit from some transformation. The psalmist prays this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We are invited to pray this prayer with anticipation that the Spirit will reveal our anxious thoughts or what are called offensive ways. We pray this prayer, and then we listen, not just for a few minutes, but throughout the coming days or the coming weeks. Or maybe you include this prayer as part of your regular spiritual practices. And when we think about God being the gentle and good potter, we know that we can trust. I wouldn't say to all people, "Hey, what do you think in me could be changed?" I wouldn't open that up to everybody, because not everybody would respond in kindness or care for myself. But I believe I can open myself up to God, this good potter, with that prayer, because he's seeking my best. And in transformation, I believe I am made free or get to live life more fully. So we open ourselves to God because God is shaping us into what seems best to him. As followers of Jesus, we are also encouraged to participate in community, to allow for the work of spiritual transformation to happen with others. You might join a small group or have a spiritual companion where you can learn together and be shaped by and with one another. Jesus modeled to us the great value of growing in faith together as he invited his disciples to journey with him and to be formed by him. In the book of Romans, Paul speaks to being part of community. He encourages us to be devoted to one another in love, to honor one another above yourselves. When we devote ourselves to one another, we create environments of acceptance, of support, and of encouragement. We see that so easily when Hannah and Olivia share this morning. They know that they are safe, welcomed, and loved in their youth group experience so that they can open themselves up to honestly share where they are in life and to learn about the transformative ways of God. I meet with a group of female pastors once a month. And when we meet, it's a time when we share kind of the sharp edges of our lives or the places that we are seeking growth. It's a time of sharing very honestly with one another, and it's a time of being prayed for. We are each given time to share. We just go around the circle and they say, now, Catherine, it's your turn, and I have my turn to share what's going on. We offer gentle counsel to one another, and sometimes we offer some practical advice to one another. And then we spend time praying with and for each other. Participation in this group has provided me with a very safe and loving community where I have been transformed in my belief about myself, about my worries and my fears, and also just in practical ministry skills. Just this past month, one of the participants openly wept with us as she believed that she had failed in her role and she was broken. She told us how she had unknowingly communicated something in a very hurtful way, or in a way that hurt someone. When she realized that she had caused this hurt, she immediately went and met with the person. She apologized sincerely, and the person accepted her apology and actually said to her, I forgive you. Yet this woman could not forgive herself, and she wept. And she wept, thinking that this failure now defined her. She was just holding on to this failure very tightly. And so we, as her community, we were able to sit with her in love and to process with her that she had, in fact, followed the way of Jesus by bravely going to the person for confessing how she had brought harm to her and by saying sorry. And now that her task was to receive the gift of forgiveness that Jesus longed to give to her. And so we waited with her. We sat with her. And then finally she came to this place of understanding, I can be forgiven, and I can receive this forgiveness. And she leaned into the mercy of God and into his love, and we saw in front of us a transformation happening. This is a gift of being transformed in community, because I believe it would have taken her a very, very long time to journey on her own to a place of receiving forgiveness of God and forgiveness from herself. I'm going to invite Chris up. Early in the service this morning, Chris read from us from 2 Peter 1. And the passage begins with an incredible promise that that God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. And I find this absolutely profound, that you and I have everything we need for a godly life. Like, I think that's a wow. We are given all the resources we need to live in the image of Jesus. This doesn't come all at once, but we are given this throughout our faith journey. Referring to the person I met with who was angry, when they opened themselves to wanting to be transformed, they had the necessary resources. Some came supernaturally through God's Spirit, Others came through reading about ways of healing from anger. The person accepted wise counsel, and they had everything they needed for transformation. And the passage that Chris read offers us another way that we can open ourselves to transformation. This is an active way, where we actively participate in being transformed. To me, it's less like being pliable, like the pipe cleaner or a piece of clay, and it's more like building with blocks. This occurs when we say yes to participate in the ways of God and actively engage in the activity or the work of transformation. We are invited to make every effort to build up our faith, building it up by adding goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of this, what Chris built in front of us. Brick by brick, character by character, we are formed into a strong tower, into this beautiful image of God. So what might God be inviting you to add to your life of faith? What might God be inviting you to add? I know mine. Mine is being a little less controlling, and I'm working on that right now. And I see God is gently reminding me that I can let go and that things will be okay. All throughout Scripture, there are prompts for what we can add to our faith. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Do not worry about tomorrow. Carry each other's burdens. Be still and know that I am God. Give with a generous heart. Those are all building blocks that build us up in character and in transformation to be Christ-like. So we have looked at what transformation looks like and how we might open ourselves to be transformed into Christ-likeness. And now we want to look at some of the purposes of transformation. Being open to transformation is a way that we can praise God. We offer ourselves fully to the one who has created us, trusting that the good work that will be done in us is best for us. And then being transformed by God also enables us to be God's loving presence to those around us. We are transformed to experience the richness and refinement of our own lives, and we are transformed for the sake of others. Our transformation impacts the lives and communities around us as we live out the ways of Jesus. I'm going to invite Rocco to come up and share with us a story, an experience that he had of transformation as he participated in the good work of Snack Attack on Tuesdays. So about 4 weeks ago, Jarrett, who's in grade 9, and some of us heard Jarrett speak in October, Jarrett said to a few of us who he grabs his snack from, he said, "I would like to start eating more healthily." We're like, "Wow, Jarrett, where is this coming from?" And he said, "I'd like to just grow a little stronger and eat a little better and be more healthy." And of course, we really, really wanted to participate in doing this. But we also know that Jarrett's family lives on a very tight budget. And so we just talked about some healthy options that might be available to him. And we talked to Mom about some healthy options that might go with Jarrett to school. The next week, Jarrett came and said, "I think I'd really like to learn how to make eggs, because I think eggs are a healthy way to eat." And I thought, we can teach Jarrett how to make eggs, Gathering Church. And so I asked Rocco, who is a master chef, if he might spend some time with Jarrett, teaching him how to make some eggs. And so Rocco's going to come and share about the mutual transformation in the kitchen here at Chandler Moat Community Center.
I'm not a master chef. I just really like it a lot. Doris pointed out that I'm wearing the same sweater. not a transformation example. So when Catherine asked me, I was like, my default is to underestimate stuff like this. So I said, yeah, not a big deal. I can show a 14-year-old how to make eggs. Not a huge deal. And then Catherine asked me to share this morning, and then I kind of got weirded out on several levels. On one level, I'm like, it just feels like I'm bragging. Aren't I great? I showed a 14-year-old how to make eggs. And on another deeper level, I was not comfortable, and I shared this with Catherine, I was not comfortable with the us and them paradigm of giving. And as I reflected, if I'm going to share, I want to share from what I've learned from this experience, and it quickly became, yeah, this is never us and them. When we give, it's never us and them. I thought back to one of my favorite quotes as a teacher, and for the teachers in the room and the non-teachers alike, you'll appreciate this. The quote goes like this: when one teaches, two learn. And what that means is that if you're involved in the process of teaching, it's never an us and them. It's never a, here I am, almighty, great, wise one, dispensing wisdom and knowledge to you. If you open yourself up to, as I experienced with Jared, so I mean, if you look at the, yes, it's a canned picture. It's canned, but there's real joy there. And if you open yourself up to the presence of another in any capacity, I learned as I reflected, you open yourself up to so much learning from the other that you're present to. So a little follow-up. So what happened with Jared is he walked away and Catherine said he was beaming. I think that's the word you used. He was beaming. And again, for me, I tend to underestimate stuff like this. I'm like, it's eggs. It's boiling eggs. It's frying eggs. It's not a big deal. But he was beaming. And the transformation for Jared was that he brought those eggs home. As I understand, he made eggs for his little brother and their friends. And then another addendum to the story, apparently there were boys at Snack Attack that would like to learn how to cook. Now, a little context here. If I had these boys that I'm thinking, like Catherine didn't name names, but if I had these boys in the kitchen, I would want Terry on hand, the fire department, and I would want Sabian T on hand, because fire and knives and these boys are a little scary proposition. But I guess that's about all I'd like to share is that as as far as transformation goes, there's never an us and them. We learned, Doris and I learned very early on in our experience with a homeless shelter that we started with the paradigm of charity. We started with the paradigm of, we are a church that has much to give and homeless people need our help. And that paradigm of charity and us and them lasted a week or two, and we realized this is a failing paradigm. And we moved very quickly from that paradigm to friendship makes a difference, which means that, for me anyway, it means that if you open yourself up to other people, you are actually opening yourself up to other people that are equally yet very differently created in God's image, and that's what an incredible opportunity that is.
Thank you. I invited Rocco to share that story because, one, I loved it. When Jarrett came out of the kitchen, he had this little container with a fried egg in it because he wanted to show his mom that he had cooked an egg. What was also happening in Jarrett's life is he wants to be a good learner in grade 9. He knows he wants to be successful, and he's learning that healthy food helps his brain to function. And it's not boasting, church. We are so fortunate to be present to kids who are saying, I would like to fully develop. I would like to learn. I would like to eat in a healthy way. I'd like to grow. And I think Jarrett says to the church, I'll be this piece of clay. and you can be like God's good hands and form me into my very best self. So yes, Jarrett has beamed. He came back again this week to tell us that his brother had a sleepover, and so he made eggs for breakfast for them on Saturday morning, and his brother said that they were delicious, and it's changing. It's changing their home, and it's changing the healthiness of his mind and of his body, and so we celebrate. And thank you, Rocco, for being available. As we close, I invite you just to take a moment of quiet reflection. And as you do, you might want to shape and reshape this pipe cleaner that you have, and to do this as a way of offering yourself to your potter, to knowing that God will shape you into what is best to him and for you and for others. So let's just take a moment and use that pipe cleaner as an illustration of how we can move and change in God's good hands. God, thank you that you have formed us like a piece of clay that we might be molded and remolded and shaped and reshaped. And it is your gentle hands and your caring ways that are gently and at times not so gently shifting us, transforming us into that which is best for you, for us, and for the community around us. God, for some of us, it might mean we courageously say, okay, I am willing to give myself over to the potter's hands. For others of us, we're there right now. We can feel the potter molding us and shaping us. For others, we can identify, oh, yes, God, transformation has happened. The old is gone, the new has come. And for that, we give great praise. Thank you that we are not made as a stick or as a rock that cannot change. Soften our hearts, open our eyes, and teach us. Amen.